Lord, I pray your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Hide it in our heart, Lord, that we may not sin against you. Amen. And sin, of course, is just missing the marks with that word thing. It gets us off track, right? I'm glad part of my glass is broke today, so I hope they stay on. They may fall off right in the middle of this. So, I was thinking about that this morning, the gospel, and what all it means, and not that I don't like to use the word cheapen, but, you know, basically our gospel has boiled down to just getting us from one place to the next, you know, getting us out of hell into heaven, you know. But the gospel is restoring to man what he lost, what man lost in Adam, and that's the presence of God being restored, for the eternal life that we have. And so, anyway. I've been meditating a lot this week, spending time Romans 8. Talked about that the other day, that and part of 2 Corinthians. And I'll reread some of the stuff in 8. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that's my flesh. The willing is present, but the doing of good is not. The good that I want to do, I don't do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want to do. Which we find that very alive in us, you know. And teaching going around today that we don't have that anymore, but sorry, you do. You know, because if you do the things you don't want to do and you find something pulling you toward that, it's still there, right? But if I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin, this principle which lives within me. I find then that the principle of evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. I joyfully concur with the law of God in my inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, which is making me a prisoner and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So you got three laws here, the law of God, the law of sin. But also we have something called the law of our mind, right? God put that in you as a new creation. So you would have the ability to know truth, right? Scripture says a natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God, and they are foolishness to him. But if you have the Spirit of God, you can understand those things because you now have a new law within you. And it's the law of your mind, all right? The law of your thinking. You can discern and know truth now. Yay. That's good, isn't it? And it's a law. So, yeah, in the course, and 24, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. On the one hand, with my mind, I'm serving the law of God. So I'm able to serve God through the law of my mind. Good. But on the other hand, my flesh, it serves the law of sin, a battle. Okay. And it always will. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Again, we talked about that the other day because of this battle that's going on of us trying to serve God with the law of our mind. We want to do good. We also find that there's our flesh that wants to serve the law of sin. Okay? And if your identity gets wrapped up into that, the enemy comes and puts condemnation on you. Okay? Condemning you when you fail. Or you're pulled in a direction. See what I'm saying? So Jesus cleared the atmosphere, so there would be no condemnation. So we could learn to walk this thing and pound it out in our daily lives. He removed that. Okay, that's the reason that it says therefore there is no condemnation. Okay, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and the law of death. There's another law here, law of sin, but there's also the law of death. You know, sin and death, you could kind of put them together. But there's a law of death because something that we'll talk about in a second that ministers death to you is from the law of death, okay? It can minister life or it can minister death. Not physical death. For what the law could not do, weak as that was through the flesh, God did it. He sent his own Son in the likeness of flesh to be an offering for sin and of sin. We talked about that. And he condemned sin in the flesh. Or he, as we said the other day, he condemned condemnation. He got rid of it. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3. Really cool stuff in here. You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. It's Paul writing to the Corinthians. Being manifest that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. And that word adequacy means is you've arrived to a place, right? You've arrived and everything is done and you totally are adequate and sufficient for everything now. Okay? You're there. That's for another day though. Who made us as adequate as servants of this new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, and when he'd get in God's presence, what would happen is when he would come out of the presence of God in the tent of meeting, he would be glowing, right? Because God's glory, his presence were there, and he would come out just kind of shining like a new penny, but it would fade away. How will the ministry of the Spirit fail to even be more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does this ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains was with glory. And he goes on, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. But one thing it talks about is this, how does this tie into what I'm talking about in Romans chapter 8, was that the law ministered condemnation and death, right? But what Jesus did in coming and fulfilling the law, like we've talked about in Romans chapter 8, therefore brought life, okay? Because the word, you know, condemnation is just a word. Let me get back over here to Romans again. Romans 8. Was means to pass a sentence on. Or it's a judicial term, to pass a sentence of guilt on. So what the law did was declared that we are guilty and unrighteous. And there's no way that you could obtain righteousness through the law, okay, to frustrate us. And so what God fulfilling the law within us, what Jesus did, so that verse 4 of 8 says the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. The word requirement is the root word for righteousness, right? In other words, simply that God did something in you and he made you righteous in standing. That's also from a judicial term, to declare guiltless. No condemnation anymore. Okay? That happened in you. The law brought death, intended to do that. It condemned, but Jesus, something happened to fulfill the requirements of the law within us, and so forever you would be declared righteous before God. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that in Christ you are now the righteousness of God. So that's what he did in there. He cleared it, got rid of the condemnation, so you forever would be righteous. And the letter that he wrote over us in our is all the declarations that he makes about us that come with being righteous, right? You see them all in Ephesians, that you're beloved. You're holy. You're blameless before God, right? You're redeemed. You're forgiven. All of those things, okay? That's why that's so important. I can't explain to you how important that is, that you never entertain condemnation. Right? Condemnation cannot transform you. He's already done that. Jesus has already fulfilled all of that requirement of the law. Right? One is condemnation in 2 Corinthians 3. Go back and read it. A ministry of condemnation, it ministers condemnation to you. The other ministers righteousness to you. Truth is always telling you you're righteous. Right? The other is telling you, if we live by the law, condemnation. Okay? Or the enemy is behind that one telling you, condemned, condemned, condemned. Right? And sadly, most of us live our lives out of that principle. You're trying to obey so you can be righteous. Or you're trying to fulfill something that's already been fulfilled for you. And so you spin your wheels and you do and you do and you just get frustrated, and the more guilty, or you just get, you know, it's just a spiraling thing. You keep going downward. That's how you know whether you, which one you live out of. Which principle are you living out of? Right? Remember we talked about the other day, if you're living out of condemnation because you put that on yourself and on other people. But if you live according to what's been fulfilled about you, righteous, then it helps you walk in this thing out. Because when you blow it, you can immediately, wait a minute. I'm right. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And I don't entertain any other voice that says anything other than that. Right? You see how healing that is? If ever the Lord has ever spoken to you like that, He always speaks to us like that of who we are. You know? Always who we are. Even if He has to correct us, it always starts with who we really are. Well, you know that's not really you. That's not your heart. That's not your intention. You're holy and blameless and righteous in my sight. Okay? But it's so easy, y'all, because that's the battle. That's the battle with the law of the mind, okay, and the law of sin. We think that the law of sin just pulls us to do something bad. No, it doesn't. The law of sin pulls you to trying to be righteous through your performance and trying to get acceptance through what you do or what you don't do. That's what the law of sin does, right? Not just I'll go out and do bad stuff. Eventually, Christians do bad stuff because they get so frustrated of trying to do this thing and they can't do it anymore. So they say, the heck with it. You know, I might as well feel good while I'm, right? While I'm struggling. But that's what the law of sin is there. It's to pull you to try to be righteous before God by your actions. The law of the mind transforms you to know that you already are righteous. So therefore, be righteous. It's a big difference, right? Because one, the atmosphere is condemning you. The other atmosphere is encouraging you. Okay, and again, this is how you know whether you're getting it. Whether you do that to yourself and the people around you. If you're trying to control them, then you're not getting it. If you're encouraging them, you're getting it. Because you're encouraging them to be who they are. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.